Welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jess.
I'm Jen. I'm always Jen.
So we've got a great show for you guys today.
Because the studio...
It could be today, but it's nighttime here.
Yeah, but the studio's cooler.
It's cooler. It's getting dark out earlier.
Yeah, we're cozy. So I want to talk about things.
All right. What we got?
First up, Hotel Sense. You guys know what we're talking about. When you work, you walk into like a hotel property.
Well, not everyone's going to the hotels that we get to see
even
with beauty.
And any hotel. There is a smell to
Howard
certain
Johnson's
hotels.
Got a smell too.
Okay, we're not talking about Howard Johnson smell. We're going to talk about lovely.
I love Hojo. Hojo, no hate, no hate,
no hate on Hojo.
Okay.
Then the new Cult Cream. Did I grab you at the headline?
Yes, I like it.
Okay, and a little bit of housekeeping. Just checking in with you guys, our favorite people in the world. So stay tuned for that.
And then our guest. Oh my gosh, this man, what a mensch! He stayed in our studio while he was like sweating bullets.
That was last week. We recorded this last week,
and before our studio like air situation got. But I was like, we cannot let him leave. We have Dr. Adam Kolker. He is one of the most sought after surgeons, plastic surgeons in the country. He is known as like the boob guy.
He is the boob guy.
He's based here in New York. He can make him smaller. He can make him bigger. He can solve your problems. He can give you a whole new lease on life. He's such a nice guy, too.
He was the best. And afterwards, I have to share this behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I said to him, he was like, wow, that was really hot. I wasn't sure I could do it. And then I said, well, you're in surgery all day long. He's like, well, there's someone to wipe my brow sweat when I'm busy doing surgery. And I was like, oh, God, we need like a brow sweat wiper
person. I love this
person.
Man so much. I would have wiped his brow sweat. I didn't know he'd be cool with that. God, I just love this man.
And you got a lot of information and shared some interesting things about your own personal history that I think people really respond to.
Listen to this. I'm sure if you don't have boob issues, I'm sure you have a friend who does. So be a pal and check this one out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, guys, a little bit of housekeeping. We're always trying to improve the show. We adore you guys. We want to make this the most informational, fun, like community experience possible.
And we absolutely love when you email us. Sorry if we don't email you all back at info@fatmascara to share what you liked, what you didn't like. And to ask us beauty questions.
Yeah, products that like you are curious about.
We want to make sure we're answering more of those questions. So you could go on our Facebook group, which you know about.
Yeah, we have a private Facebook group, which is not so private anymore because it's very busy and you guys are highly engaged, so thanks.
It's called Raise a Wand. Search us out or go to our blog, fatmascara.com, and then click on the blog and there's a link in every blog to get into the Facebook group.
Yes.
You could post questions there, but then everybody's going to see them. Mm-hmm. So if you prefer, it's better to email us at info@fatmascara.
Or DM us.
And who do you want to have on? Like, we got Tiffany Masterson because mm-hmm. of a recommendation from a listener, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, we want this to be interactive. We want you guys to give us reviews and tell us what you like about the show.
Is something pissing you off in the beauty world? Like, what are your gripes?
I know. I feel like once people are regular listeners, they don't do reviews as much anymore. Like, listen, I know when I'm doing the Seamless app and I'm like ordering dinner and I'm like, no, I don't want to review you right now. And I don't click on it.
Oh, I forgot that they send that to everyone. I was like, why are they targeting me?
No, it's everyone. So if you like the show, will you just go over to Apple? Because this helps us get sponsors and keep the show alive and make sure everybody knows that we're out there.
Yes.
Throw us a review.
So throw us a review.
I'm not saying it has to be 5 stars, but a lot of them are. Let's be honest.
I think that, you know, you could just hop onto iTunes. You can also do it through your phone, too.
Yes,
so,
if you can.
So, yeah, just...
We read every single one, and honestly, we've made adjustments to the show because of them, and we hope that this reflects that,
yes.
Right?
So thank you so much for your support. Let's carry on with the topics. So, Jen, this was really funny. It was like a year ago or something. Jeff's friends were in town and they stayed at a hotel downtown in like Tribeca. And we're all like sitting on like this one bed. There's like 6 of us just like waiting to go to dinner. I forgot where we were going. And his friend says to me, like, is this so weird for you, like being in a hotel in New York? Have you ever been in a hotel in New York?
And literally, I go to like 20 hotels.
Before I could like get try to explain that, like,
That you're a high-end call girl?
Yes. Jeff is like, she's in hotels all the time because of her job. And he's like, what do you mean? And I had to explain to him that, you know, through work, when we go to press previews a lot, we're not in a room with a bed, but we're in like a hotel suite.
We're often sometimes in a room with a bed too.
If it's a facialist or something like that.
Like a company will come in, and instead of them renting a big space, they have a hotel room. And then the beauty editors come up to like do their interviews. I have an interview tomorrow at the Nomad Hotel.
Oh, cool.
It happens like,
that's
I want to say like at least 4 hotels a week I see.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you where all the great bathrooms are in Midtown.
Can you also talk about
the scents?
Hotel fragrance.
So hotel fragrance, I feel like, is something that, you know, it's very popular now. There's a great article in Wall Street Journal. It says hotel scents, love them or hate them, because it's such a trend for hotels to have their own proprietary scent.
Yes.
Like, so when you walk in, it's like it's as much of a part of the identity as it is, you know, the decor or the restaurant that, you know, is attached
to it. We did a story on this a couple of years ago with Mary Claire, like all the top hotels around the world and what their scents are. Because I also think it's a memory thing, right? Because you
yes.
want to remember your vacation or your time there, and scents linked to memory. So they're going to like sell you a little shower gel or candle that smells like the scent. Right?
I almost bought the Gurney's Montauk Hotel.
That
candle.
Hotel smells really
good. It smells so good, but it was very expensive. And I was like, I need to like check myself out. Photographs, but like
yeah.
it was so beautiful. Now the brand who I think, you know, I'm sure everyone might have their own opinion, but the brand who I think really started this was the partnership with Le Labo and the Gramercy Park Hotel, like at least 15 years ago.
I was going to bring that up. This is a hotel in New York that you walk in. It wasn't Santal, though, was it?
No, they have their own proprietary
exactly.
scent for the Gramercy Park
but
Hotel.
But it has that trail the way a Le Labo scent does. Like, I think some people would probably think it's strong. It's not in the rooms, but all of their common areas are just like, they just smell expensive and niche.
Very. It's like sandalwood.
Like
it might have some rose in it too.
It's not a firewood woodsy. It's just this like warm New York City in the fall kind of smell.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's very comforting. It's like
yeah.
a hearth smell. When I went to Japan earlier this year with Shiseido, we stayed at, I didn't realize, guys, this sounds very la-di-da, but we stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. I thought this was really interesting. They have their own scent. And I think also the Andaz, where we stayed as well, mm-hmm. they have seasonal scents. So
they
change it up depending on, like, you know, the flower of the moment or something like that. So it is definitely a trend. Oh, wait, one more, and then I'll stop name dropping these hotels, which I was very lucky to stay in. Okay, this is a little unexpected one. And this is before I started going on beauty editor trips. At the St. Pete Beach Hotel called the Don Cesar. It's called the Pink Lady. It's like, that's like the nickname. It's the most, it's
where
so
is
fabulous.
This?
St. Pete Beach in Florida. Because I used to do
HS. Is it called St. Pete?
St. Petersburg.
Oh, St. Yeah. Petersburg Beach.
Yeah, but
okay.
St. Pete Beach is like on the Gulf Coast.
If you're in the know.
It's such a beautiful area. The beaches are incredible. But I used to go do HSN with Lucky Magazine.
That's right. Jess was on television like being the Lucky Magazine beauty editor.
It wasn't beauty, I was fashion editor.
I was just going to say that.
So like 8 minutes of just like deer in the headlights, 4 a.m. like, and then you can style it with a wrap, you know?
But you were chill because that hotel scent.
The hotel scent was so gorgeous. And I remember I asked them, I said, what is it? And they told me right in the face, we're not allowed to say it's proprietary.
That was years ago.
Yeah.
I bet you right now they are selling that damn scent.
Oh my God, it's so tropical and fabulous. Any Floridians, let me know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and W Hotel sells theirs on their website just like they sell their bed sheets now. But I'm just saying they're all beautiful and they're designed to be like nose agnostic. Like even if you don't like strong scents, like everybody likes them. Good gift if you need a gift. Like go look for a hotel fragrance.
That's a great gift.
Right? Like even a candle in a hotel fragrance scent isn't going to put anyone off.
The last line in this article
was
really funny because it said, this guy goes, rarely do you say, talking about a hotel, that place smelled great. I have to go back unless you're visiting Cinnabon. I have to say I disagree with you, sir. Okay,
because gross.
No, I love Cinnabon, but I actually do think that if the service is terrible, if it's not clean, I'm not going back if it smells like, you know, roses.
Oh, you're disagreeing with the other part of the sentence about
I'm saying like no, a scent for me is actually quite a big deal. Am I alone here?
No, I would book a place because if I had to go back to the same city, I would book the same hotel if I like the scent in a second.
And maybe it's just us. I don't know. Let us know if there are any hotels
sense
you love.
Of place.
I've definitely written that headline and thought
okay,
it was smart.
Me too.
Okay, so every now and then a product comes along, which for some reason, sometimes it's just like unknown reason, everyone like loses their minds over and we get so many DMs like, have you tried this? Is this worth the money? All the editors who are super jaded buzz about it and like post Instagrams and say that it changed their lives. I would say this happens once every 18 months or so.
Okay.
Well, we saw one the past year.
Oh, I've been hearing about it from people that rep other brands or from like in the know fashion people.
Yeah.
Because the fashion people are plugged into the beauty stuff.
The fashion people, I feel like it's almost like once the fashion people, I don't know if they're that plugged in. I think once the fashion people know about something, it's like peak.
Amongst like an in crowd.
Yes, yeah.
I felt bad.
I was like Santal with Le Labo.
Yeah, but I was a little late to the game. The cream that we're talking about is Augustin Espadr.
Oh, I love the way you said it because I'm just like Augustus.
I mean, he's German, as you know, I'm big on the Germans. So Augustin Espadr. So I ended up. I don't think I've ever met with the brand, but some of the girls in the office did. He's a German professor and scientist, and he works on cell rejuvenation. And okay, I can't even me who loves science. I can't really understand all that's going on in this particular cream. But what have you heard about it?
I've heard that it will like transform your face.
Did you try it?
I have tried it, but here's the thing, and full disclosure, I didn't try it for like 28 days straight. You're supposed to put it on dry, bare skin.
Yep.
And for me, as somebody who really like loves the ritual of like putting on my serums and, you know, and I don't use that many products, but I use like, I love my Kiehl's vitamin C serum. I love my current moisturizer. Like, I feel like I have to upend my whole routine to use this.
Well, I happen to do that. Here's what happened.
Okay.
I ran out of my usual Skin Medica, and then somebody sent me a travel size.
Okay.
So while I was on my honeymoon, I was using the cream, which also I love the name. It's just like
the cream.
We don't need another name. It's just the cream. So the thing it has is this TFC8. It's a proprietary trigger factor complex. And basically it's natural amino acids, high-grade vitamins, synthesized molecules that are naturally found in the skin. It's like tricking your skin into making new skin, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So I was just like, all right, fine. I literally
don't peptides do that? It makes more collagen. And
I've used a lot of peptide creams too, but I didn't have anything else in my kit. I literally just had this for 2 weeks straight.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to be so dry.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some of my, sometimes I see redness and lines coming back when I don't use my epidermal growth factors.
Yeah.
Dude, I was glowy AF. The thing that I don't get is that it's like, I feel like just one moisturizer is not enough moisture for me usually.
Yeah. So did you top it off?
No. I didn't.
Oh, wow.
But it was. It's enough moisture, but it doesn't trigger breakout. It's enough, like, activeness without making me, like, sensitive. And I also didn't feel like my lines were, like, I just felt
you
good.
You do look very good.
But well, so that's the thing. I knew that time that you said to me, you were like, what did you do? And this was before I got a re-up on my needles and my Botox.
Okay. Yeah, right, right.
That was
right
when I was running out of the BADA.
I realize this is not a scientific analysis, but the same thing happened about a week after I complimented you. I saw my friend who is a beauty publicist for Breakfast, bright and early, harsh light. And I thought, oh my God, I'm like, I've known this girl for 15 years and she's never looked better. She's got like, you know, she's a mom. Like she just like, it was weird that she looked like she was 24. Okay. She looked really good. I was really mad. And I said, what are you doing? Okay.
That's your response. I'm mad.
I'm mad. I'm like, what is she doing? And she does not rep like Botter. And she said she's been using it. I know. And she's like, it's amazing. So
that's what happened at my magazine. A girl in the fashion department had talked about it. And then all the other people were buying it. And it's a pricey cream. But because her acne actually went away, which is funny because it's not known as like an acne product.
It's not like
but I think when you do cell renewal and your skin cells turning over in the way that they're supposed to, it's almost like adaptogenic in a way. Like if you need more moisture, it gives you more moisture. If you're too oily in acne, it gives you less. Trust me, the company and the professor would probably freak out if they heard me explain it that way. But the people that I know that use it all have very different skin and it sort of balances and perfects everybody's skin. It's kind of like just one, like one and done kind of products.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't rank it against other creams and say like this one is doing something that none has ever done before. But I do. I think it's a good cream. I haven't used it consistently enough. But seeing how you looked and seeing how my little buddy looked, I think I might give it a go. If you guys have tried the cream, please let us know what you think. Do you think it's hype?
It's like getting Biologique Recherche kind of vibes or like
totally.
La Mer back in the day. Vintner's Daughter's another one.
Yeah.
It's a cult. It's getting a cult status.
Yes. Let us know what you really think.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We are here with Dr. Adam Kalker. He is a double board certified. Not sure what that means, but I'm going to ask you in a second. double board certified plastic surgeon. He is also the associate clinical professor of surgery at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. And he knows about all things boobs. Well, okay, he does all the surgeries. But it's boobs are really your specialty.
We brought you on to talk about breasts specifically. That's true.
We have, Today is the breast day.
Okay. Welcome,
Femme Mascara. This is the topic that I love this topic so much. First of all, what does double board certified mean?
So there's a certification by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, which I hold, and all plastic surgeons are required to have that type of certification. I'm also certified by the American Board of Surgery, which was another surgical fellowship, residency and fellowship that I had done previously. That's in general surgery as well.
We're going to get to this later. This topic is very close to my heart, no pun intended. I am a breast reduction survivor.
Oh, God.
I had a huge boob since I was like 10, and I feel very emotional about this topic, and I'm still really obsessed with like my boobs. So, and I know that other people who are listening feel the same way.
Yeah. So before we get into questions for you, and we want to talk about you and your career, I thought it would be important to talk about what is normal breasts? What do normal breasts look like? And am I even using the right terminology by saying, quote unquote, normal?
Normal breasts are defined as whatever somebody feels comfortable with, really. That's probably the most appropriate way to define it. There are a lot of times where we have, a sense of what a normal or natural breast looks like based on what society tells us it should. But really, it's when one feels comfortable in one's own skin, that's when the breasts are normal. Most often what we talk about with normal breasts is that there's a certain degree of roundness, usually in the lower pole or the lower hemisphere of the breast, with a little bit of a slope in the upper portion of the breast, with a nipple position, meaning the nipple areolar complex, that sits somewhere in the neighborhood of about the halfway point between those two, about 50 or 55% the way up from the bottom portion of the breast.
And that is still a huge range of what breasts look like, huh? Between in there, they could have anything.
No question. There are a tremendous number of permutations and combinations and variations on that theme.
Okay, before I ask you about then what makes someone go to have a breast augmentation for medical reasons versus aesthetic, can I just like ask, how many breasts do you think you've seen in your lifetime?
So the answer
like
is
pairs.
The answer is a lot.
Multiply by two, yeah, whatever he says.
It's going to be an even number.
Like in the thousands, right?
That's it. Thousands.
Thousands. Okay. Yeah. So then sometimes we hear about people getting a breast surgery and the insurance paying for it because it was for quote unquote medical reasons. What defines what is a medical change to a breast versus a cosmetic change to a breast?
No, that's an excellent question. Most often, medically covered procedures or surgeries that are done for the breast have to do with something that has some form of physical or emotional debilitation or problem that's associated with it. Most often, the breast conditions that we see are breast enlargement or breast hypertrophy when the breasts are large. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you'll also see very commonly is breast cancer. And those are the two main procedures that are covered by insurance. And that's when you have a clinically significant impact of a breast condition that, that becomes more medically necessary for treatment.
And you do both of those types of surgeries, imagine.
Okay. How did this type of plastic surgery become one of your specialties? Like people tell me like,
he's the boob guy.
He's the boob guy.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating question. So, in actual fact, I'm an everything guy. So one of the beauties of being a general plastic surgeon, and which is one of the reasons that I chose this specialty, is nothing is off limits to me, meaning I can operate literally from the top of the head to the tip of the toes. But breasts are fascinating because it's an incredibly sculptural undertaking. And it's also an incredibly life-changing process for the individual that goes through it.
Okay. And then what about, what I've heard about you, I've heard like, he does these amazing breast augmentations. But I have to ask, as somebody who is about to have a child, tell me about a breast lift. What's the difference? What's the difference between breast lifts and breast augmentations?
Yeah. So breast lift is something that addresses position, meaning that when the breast position or shape needs to be modified, the breast can be lifted or enhanced in that way, but it doesn't necessarily refer to the volume or the size. Breast augmentation refers to improving or enhancing the size of the breast. So most often when you think about going from an A cup to a B cup, that's a breast augmentation. If mm-hmm. you think about going from a breast that has a degree of droop to it mm-hmm. that you want to make more perky, that's a breast lift.
So you're not adding anything in, but you're like kind of like when I stand in the mirror and I like pull them up.
Well, you
like,
can. Like well, that. What you're doing in the mirror, if you're not envisioning yourself with a size change, that's going to be a lift.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And we have to talk about this because I feel like this is still such a taboo and I want to like blow the lid off of it.
I'm ready. What is mascara. It? What is it?
Asymmetry.
Excellent. Oh, yeah.
Like, does everyone have it? Is it just like an unlucky few? How bad can it be?
So the interesting thing is asymmetry is the rule, not the exception. And the vast majority of women have some degree of measurable asymmetries.
So what, and I hate to use the word normal because we don't want to make anyone feel like they're not normal, but what is like a common asymmetry? Like one's a B cup and one's like a full B, or one's a B, one's a C. Like when do we have, I don't want to say a problem because I don't want anyone to feel
when
like they've
when are people coming to you because they are unhappy with the asymmetry?
It varies dramatically. And again, it goes back to that self-perception issue, meaning you may see someone who has virtually unmeasurable asymmetry, who's as close to identical as possible, and they notice tremendous asymmetry. And there are some women that come in with an A cup on one side and a D cup on the other and want something else done.
Would insurance cover that? Because that's
so the answer is the answer is maybe. So one of the things that happens is insurance in 2019 is a little bit tricky in the sense that you really have to document something clinical. And what that means is a failure of conservative management. So oftentimes, patients will need to justify to their insurance carriers that there's something that has that they have that has a physical impact. So if it's something where the asymmetry is so severe that they have back pain or something along those lines, then that's something that may be covered. And then there's another slightly tougher path to that, which is justifying it from a psychosocial perspective, meaning that if there's a real emotional impact, that may be covered. But one of the most difficult things is there really is a very gray area between cosmetic and reconstructive or medically necessary and something that's purely elective or aesthetic. And it does also depend on the insurance carrier as well.
I went on your website because your before and afters are fascinating, as are all before and afters. And just within the breast section, there was like 7 different types of surgeries. Besides the augmentation and the lift that you mentioned, what else would people be coming to you for?
So
maybe not 7. I don't know. I didn't count. I'm sorry, Dr. Coker.
Well, there are 3 main ones, if you think about it. One procedure is making breasts larger. The other procedure is making breasts smaller. Mm-hmm. And another procedure is lifting them. So those are sort of the 3 fundamental foundational procedures that one would do on the breast. Breast augmentation by far is the most common of all procedures that are done in the United States. It's the most common cosmetic or elective surgical procedure.
Really?
It's over 300,000 women in 2018 had breast augmentation.
Just in 1 year.
Just in 1 year.
Which means there's like millions of women out there that have had breast augmentation.
Millions is right.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Millions and what are they using to do it? I don't know.
Excellent question. So the most common way to achieve a breast augmentation is with an implant. And implants come in 2 main forms. One is a silicone implant and the other is a saline implant. Both of the implant types have a very similar shell, which is the shell that contains the fill. The fill can be either a silicone gel or saline water. I was going to say, in actual fact, there are very subtle differences between the two. And I think that we can talk about the, why one would choose a silicone versus a saline implant or vice versa. There are many more similarities than there are differences.
So remember like when in the press, it was like still everyone's silicone implants were leaking. Is that something that is still a problem for the silicone, people who opt for that type of implant?
So any implant can leak. And what you may be referring to is in the early 90s, there was a moratorium that was placed on breast implants that kept silicone gel implants in particular, silicone implants off the market until November of 2006.
This happened to my mom's friend and it ruptured.
And they can. And the early generation silicone implants had a silicone oil. It was not as firm. It wasn't cross-linked. So when they did leak, they were a little bit tougher to deal with. They would create more local problems. So they were effectively taken off the market in the early 90s and then replaced to the market or reintroduced to the market after a number of upgrades. So there were evolutionary changes in the implants when they were reapproved for widespread use in November of 2006. But that said, any implant can leak. So there are advantages to the newer generation silicone implants because the gels are more gummy.
And hence the gummy bear implant.
That's exactly right. So the gummy bear implants have really been supplanted by something called a gummy implant. And there are different degrees of gumminess to any implant. You can have a lot of cross-linking, which makes the gel more firm. That's called very gummy. You can have less cross-linking, which makes it more soft, which is less gummy.
And would you feel that difference if you felt the breast after the augmentation?
There are a variety of choices that are more appropriate to the plastic surgeon, to the practitioner, than to the person. So sometimes it has to do with how much upper pole fullness we're looking to achieve in someone who has a thicker skin or soft tissue envelope compared to thinner, meaning someone who's extremely slim or thin might show a ripple or a fold or an edge of an implant. You might need something a little firmer so it may ripple less. So those are some of the things that factor into the choices.
I didn't even think about skin type.
Yeah, it is. There are so many different nuances because if you take 10 women who are an A cup, there are going to be so many differences between each of those individuals, the areolar size, the density or the sponginess of the breast tissue, the distance from the nipple complex to the inframammary fold.
Oh, nipple complex. I've never heard that. That means nipple and areola.
That's right.
That's my new term. Yeah. I like it.
Nipple complex.
My nipple complex. Yeah. So do you have like a wall of implants and medical devices? Like, take me over to my wall and let's see which one fits you. Or like, how does that work?
So the way it works in terms of how someone will choose an implant is there are a number of different steps in the process. One of them is just what an individual articulates. Someone may say that I want to be a little bit fuller, but maintain natural, proportional, shapely, feminine, athletic, whatever have you. There may be another individual that says, I want to be unnatural. I want roundness. I want a lot of cleavage, etc. So that starts the process.
So they bring in photos?
They do, often. The next part of the process is the clinical examination. So what we do is we take measurements, and very, very careful measurements, and we tailor the final procedure to the combination of what the individual's desires are, what they articulate, and what I find on clinical examination.
Are there any trends that you're seeing now? And I think the word trends is a bit flippant for like such a big procedure. Like we're talking about a medical procedure. But are you seeing anything like, people want smaller boobs now or they're going back to the big ones?
You've been doing this, what, 30 years?
Not quite 30.
Okay. I was trying to do the math from your New York Times wedding.
Announcement.
So. Like truly, that's what I found on you with your age, and it was the only thing. Sorry if I added wrong.
I graduated from medical school in 1990, and I trained for 10 years. So I started my practice in 2000.
P.S. He graduated from medical school when he was 23.
Are you joking?
He got into medical school when he was 17.
I did a combined biomedical.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the trends. So in the years you've been practicing, Dr. Kolker.
Yes.
What has changed?
Yeah. So there really has been a trend that I've seen over the last few years, certainly, and it really can be distilled to one word, and it's natural. Mm. I think that there was a time where people would seek breast augmentation or enhancement that tended to leave the realm of natural and proportional. And one of the things, and it also, as a side note, it's also regional, meaning that there are places in the world and regions within the United States that may differ in terms of a particular aesthetic or a particular trend. But one of the things that I've been seeing in particular is a trend towards natural, which does mean more conservatively sized implants, something that fits the frame naturally, that's proportional. And one of the other things to note as well is it's incredibly important to note that implants and breast augmentation, this is not a one-time in your life process. It's not a one-time procedure. Implants are not lifetime devices. At some point, they can be expected to need to be changed. And that time is usually 10 to 20 years.
How would you know? Like, say you got them 15 years ago. How do you know it's time?
That's an excellent question. So there are the two main types of implants, which are saline implants and silicone implants. Saline makes it very, very obvious because one day you'll look down and your B cup or C cup breast is now an A cup and you'll know that your implant's deflated. And
do they has it happen mostly at the same time or one could just go?
It's rare that it happens at the same time.
Oh my gosh. So you better have some money saved away.
It's not an emergency, but it may be sort of a cosmetic or a social emergency.
But
it's not.
You could walk around with your deflated for a little
exactly
while.
Right. Breast. So with a saline implant, it's saline water, which is the same fluid that that you would find in intravenous fluids. So when that saline—
So you're just really hydrated, but your boobs look deflated.
It's different with a silicone implant. So with a silicone gel implant, they're not going to tell you when they leak. Mm-hmm. So that's considered a silent leak or a silent rupture.
Can you get hurt?
So the short answer to that is no. With silicone gel implants, the current recommendation is that all women who have silicone implants get an MRI at some point in the future to assess the integrity of the shell of the implant. So the current recommendation by the FDA, which actually was, which is consistent with the 2006 reapproval, is that the first MRI is done at 3 years and that an MRI is then done every 2 years thereafter. This is a huge number of MRIs and most women choose not to do this. Most plastic surgeons will recommend that you do an MR scan or an MRI every 5 to 7 years or thereabouts.
That's a lot.
And you
got to
factor that into the price if you're going to do this surgery, don't you?
You do, and it's not. That's correct, and it's not always covered by insurance. Occasionally, it is, but
they're like thousands of dollars. Some of them,
they can be. Yeah, they can be.
Wow. All right. So, as we're talking about, like upkeep and maintenance, I have to tell you a story.
Please.
And it's a short story.
I can't wait.
And listeners of the podcast may know this because I talked about it like 2 years ago or something. But if you're just jumping in, I had a breast reduction when I was 20 years old. Now, my breasts before that were bad, okay? Like, I can say that they're my boobs. They were bad because I started growing. It's really sad. And, like, I'm having a daughter and I'm
for
actually
you,
like—
For you, yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was sad for my parents, too, because they were like, I was, like, miserable. So when I was 10, it was like, bam, C's. And by the time I was in middle school, they were D's. By the time I was in high school, I don't even know what size I was because they grew so fast and they became so, this is like gross to say this, but they were so pendulous. Like that's the word the doctor used, pendulous. And I was like, that's the perfect word. Stretch marks, like it was, my mom had never seen my boobs until we went to the doctor and she like gasped and started to get tearful because it was that bad. So then he made me see. I was happy. I was like skipping out of the office. I was like, I feel no pain because I was so hopped up on like, I don't have these things. Then about, I would say, when I was like 27 or 28, it was like a slow creep. They were huge again. Never the way they were, but they got like that. So I went to a bunch of different doctors.
Not with a weight gain, but regardless of weight gain.
Yeah, it was like around the same weight. Yeah. I went to a few different doctors and like they had me take tests, like hormonal tests and like, just making sure there's nothing like wrong. And I went back to my original surgeon. I went to all these like, no offense, I went to all these fancy New York, doctors and they were like, we can fix that for you, $30,000. Not sure what's wrong. You should go get a MRI or CAT scan or something like that. It was very scary. I went back to my old doctor and he's like, here's what happened. He said that the hormonal tissue responded to like, I'm not saying this medical terms, he'd probably kill me if you heard me say this, like, but he said when you cut the tissue out, some people, the hormones are like, oh, let's make more breast tissue. And like, it is possible for boobs to grow back. Have you ever seen this? And should I get a third one?
it depends on how comfortable you are with the second now.
I know. The second I loved, but now I'm pregnant. Yeah. So now my boobs are.
Let's wait and see what happens.
It's probably a good idea to wait a little while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
I'm putting these
decision.
Boobs on ice for a bit.
No question. But what you described actually is pretty common.
Wow.
So when breast reduction is performed on someone that has not completed breast development in particular.
That's frightening. I wasn't done.
It's relatively common to actually need another surgery. In the group of women that require a secondary procedure after breast reduction, the highest number is in women who are done in a juvenile phase. And there actually is a condition called juvenile macromastia, which just means large breasts in a young woman.
Yeah.
And there are sometimes
where I had?
It is. And it can be debilitating physically and socially as well.
Yeah, I had to get, my insurance covered it the first time, and I had to get, it took us 2 or 3 years to get covered. I was 20 years old. I wanted it done when I was in high school because it was, you know, I had to get like psychologist letters and.
Because you were young.
Yeah, you know, and eventually they covered it, and it was like, you know, really cheap compared to what it is now. But the second time they didn't cover it.
Yeah. What you described in terms of regrowth of breast tissue is the breast itself is made up of different elements. Obviously, you have the skin and the nipple complex, which you love.
Yes, my new favorite word.
Outside. And then underneath the surface, you have a layer of subcutaneous tissue, which is a little bit of fat. And then the majority of the breast is made up of two things. One of them is breast gland, which is the milk-producing tissue. It's called breast parenchyma. The other is breast fat. And breasts can change with hormonal stimulation. Clearly, in pregnancy, they're going to change. Mm-hmm. Breasts can also change with significant changes in weight as well. Mm-hmm. So those are really two things that may, that may result in the need for additional surgery at some point in the future. And going back to the need for another breast reduction procedure, it's not that common. One thing that can happen in the future is with the majority of breast reductions, you're going to end up having a lift at the same time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The one thing that everybody has to remember is that gravity always wins. So even though you're getting smaller, once you put them where they want to be, if you think of someone who wears an amazing bra and sits on a couch for 10 years, and if they had a twin who had the same procedure and they marathon train without a bra at all, you're going to imagine something very different in 10 years, for sure.
Is running like not bad for your breast, but could that lead to a more pendulous looking breast because of all the impact?
It could with enough breast size, or the weight of the breast is unsupported. So as long as you're wearing a really good sport bra or something that's going to maintain the position of the breast while you run, it's absolutely fine to do it.
What about people who say that they can keep their breasts high and perky by sleeping with a bra?
I've heard that myth.
Yeah.
Or is it a myth?
I've heard it too. I think it's a myth.
Okay.
Yeah. What about if I sleep upside down?
Oh, that'll work.
What if I did that? I'm sorry. Okay.
So what about, there's lots of like minimally invasive breast augmentations I'm hearing about now, like with a cannula and then they firm up.
Fillers.
Yeah.
Or
do you do this kind of stuff?
Thermage and tightening radiofrequency. Yeah.
So you're onto it with the last one. So radiofrequency is the one modality that shows a little bit of promise in terms of minimally invasive breast surgery. If you think about the idea of a breast augmentation, there's really no way to increase the volume of the breast minimally invasively other than the fact that the vast majority of breast augmentations are minimally invasive. It's a very, very small access incision that gives you access to the space or the place where you're going to put the implant. But of course, it's an implant. And if you're talking about something that is going to tighten the skin or the soft tissue of the breast, there really isn't anything that's A, approved, B, appropriate from an external approach that's going to have an impact on the position of the nipple complex, mm-hmm. Or the tightness of the skin of the breast. Radiofrequency lipectomy, or RFAL, radiofrequency assisted lipectomy, seems to show a little bit of promise.
Lipectomy, is that when they put a needle and go deeper with the radiofrequency?
So it's done, correct. So with radiofrequency placed on the inside, so RFAL, or radiofrequency assisted lipectomy, what you can do is the same way you would do liposuction, is you make a tiny access incision in the skin. It can often be done with an IV catheter or cannula. Mm-hmm. And through that skin puncture site, you can place another cannula that has a radiofrequency emitter at the tip of it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the emitter releasing energy from the inside immediately underneath the skin and in the area where the supportive ligaments of the breast is, in theory, what you're going to do is you're going to create heat, and that heat is going to be interpreted by the body as a thermal injury, almost like a burn. So the body can respond to that by healing. So you're going to get
pump out some growth factors, some good stuff. What about collagen? Get a little collagen going.
Collagen comes up too. It all happens. But
is this only good for people with like little boobs?
Well, so it's
this doesn't seem like it's not going to help me.
If you really need a lift, it's not going to work.
Yeah, this is for like
this is and without getting anyone's hopes up too high, I'm going to say that the sliver of the pie that's going to be appropriate for is probably 1%. So it's in the low single digits.
Save your money on the minimally invasive and builds up to doing.
We want the hard stuff.
So pregnant Jess is my favorite person. She's just like, give it to me straight.
Yeah, I'm like, I've got no patience. I'm pissed off.
My boobs are getting pendulous.
I know. Oh my God. It's like triggering. Okay.
Came at the
perfect time. We're almost done. Okay.
So, all right. What can be done? This is another, I'm asking for a friend. What can be done for stretch marks on the boobs?
So unfortunately, tell your friend there's not a ton that you can do. There are a few things.
She says why.
So tell her that stretch marks are obvious for two reasons. One is the coloration of them, and the other is the thinning of the dermis, where if you really look closely, you'll see both of those, that there's a little bit of a...
You don't have to look closely. you can see it from here.
I can't see it from here. But those are really the two things. So the coloration may respond to some energy modalities. There are certain lasers that will target red if there's a little bit of pinkness or redness within the stretch mark. There are some other treatments, and we had just touched on radio frequency, that occasionally radio frequency microneedling will have a small improvement or result in a small improvement of stretch marks, but really very, very, very little.
And not topical products that...
No, there's no topical product. But one thing that actually does help is stretch marks can often become more obvious when there's deflation as well. Mm-hmm. So most often what people see, whether it's due to significant size changes with hormonal, with hormonal change, certainly pregnancy related changes, with weight changes where someone will increase in weight and then lose a ton of weight, there are going to be deflational changes to the breast. We call those either postpartum or post weight loss associated hypoplasia of the breast, meaning that the size of the gland will decrease or the amount of fat will decrease, but the skin still remains stretched.
What about like how it's like ridgy? Like if you touch the skin, it's like ridges, creepy, like your nails can almost like...
When you're talking about the stretch mark areas.
Yes. Yeah. Like, so, is there anything you can do? It's like divoted.
Yeah. So, the way to think about it is when you take silly putty and you stretch it, there is a point at which it kind of really thins right before it breaks.
It's like holes.
And the same thing happens to the collagen and elastin within the skin, because if you really look carefully at the skin and you kind of look at the thicker side of the stretch mark and then you look at the central portion of it, you're going to see varying amounts of collagen within those areas. So it actually thins. And as I was mentioning before, one of the ways to improve that is some women will benefit from a lift and a slight enhancement of the breast volume, meaning putting something in there to fill it out.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Last question, which I think is what we're all sort of getting at here, maybe Jess too, but like...
Jess is on the table.
if you had a friend and she just wanted to keep her breasts looking by what standard term is called youthful, which I don't want to say what that looks like, but like they looked when she left high school. I don't know how to say this without being rude. How do you keep your boobs perky? Is there anything?
How do you keep them looking nice?
We're not going to run marathons anymore, because if you have large breasts and you're running a marathon, that's probably not going to help. But is there anything else that people can do? Any kind of bras to wear, topical products that can help like maintain what a breast looks like throughout age?
So bras to wear, yes. And anything that's comfortable and supportive really is the most important thing that you can do to maintain breast position over time. The other thing is there really is very little way to control the changes that are going to be associated with pregnancy or hormonal changes, but maintaining a relatively consistent weight is also pretty important too. Good clean living really is the solution for anything from head to toe, particularly with the breast, but getting rest, drinking fluids, eating a good, healthy diet, maintaining weight, exercise, that really is going to have a positive impact everywhere.
What about like doing push-ups? You know how like when people wanted their boobs to grow when they were younger and they're like, you must increase your bust and do like weird chest exercises?
Or my trainer said like the inner bra and I was like, nothing's helping.
Yeah. Oh, like to tighten up the pectoral muscles even?
Yeah, like you bring your arms, forearms
forward.
Yeah,
does that do anything?
They're great for you, but they're not going to have any impact on your breasts.
Okay, we should be exercising, but not for that particular purpose. This has been so enlightening. Did you get everything you needed out of this
Absolutely
conversation?
Absolutely not, but but this has been fantastic, and I feel very, very much more informed than I was.
I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure.
It's time to raise a wand. Raising a wand to you for being so open about your issues.
Oh,
with Dr.
thank
Col-
you.
Colker.
Thanks. I could talk about boobs all day. It's kind of an obsession.
Yeah, but I feel like we got a lot of information.
Thank you.
There. What product are you raising a wand to?
I'd love to hear your boob stories, too, guys. Okay, so.
sounded weird. Tell us about your boobs.
I'm just saying I'm here for you. Okay.
The poor man, too. I kept saying nipple complex, and then I made him say it weird and whatever. It's fine.
Oh, God, he was such a doll. Okay. I am very wary of any time a brand comes out with stick foundation. I get a visceral reaction where it's like nails on a chalkboard because I feel like a lot of them are very chalky.
I knew you were going to say chalky. Yes, yes, yes.
Right? Yeah, that's chalkboard chalky.
It's the old ones were, yes.
But even some of the new ones, especially some of the, God forgive me, some of the cleaner formulas, it's like,
order to get it to stay in a stick, you feel like they took out every moisturizing thing that was in there.
Yes. I didn't even think about, the logical reason. You're right. That's
it's not
exactly
like your husband's a cosmetic chemist or anything.
No. Just make me pretty. Okay. So, but there is one that I really like. Oh, also a lot of them are too heavy, too. I was into foundation sticks in 1998, where I look like Twilight in every photo.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not good.
That was a look.
It really was a look, guys. Okay, I have to tell to the young people that there's a reason why my brows look like sperm and I look like I'm in a kabuki theater. Okay, so, and I thought I was so hot. It's so funny. It's some black lipstick.
Tell me about the
foundation. Okay. So Christopher Buckle makes a foundation stick. It's $22, which I think is great for what I think is it's a very high quality product. It's called Triplicity and it's a 3-in-1, which I love. I feel like I'm an HSN right now.
Uh-huh,
it's a 3-in-1. It primes skin. It has a little core that it helps prime.
Okay.
It gives you buildable coverage. So you don't use it like a sidewalk chalk all over your face. Just dab, 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 and then blend. And it really does. It says it has a soft focus blurring effect. Damn, it does. Maybe that's what the inner core does. But there's a silicone-y looking core in the middle.
But it also gives them probably a little slip and moisture
There's a lot of slip. Honestly, if you keep it in a hot environment, it will melt.
Okay, good tip,
But I...
$22 is
$22
a great
bucks
price.
For a Christopher Buckle product. And I think his products are amazing for the price.
Yeah.
And it's good. I actually used it on vacation for travel because it doubles as a concealer. You can use it as a full foundation. And it's just very handy. You can chuck it in your bag. Love it.
I love it. Okay. I'm not raising a wand to a beauty product. I'm raising a wand to a book.
Mm.
Listen, girls and boys, this woman does not need a raise a wand, but she deserves one. The book is called Nothing Fancy, and it's by my dear friend Allison Roman. So Allison actually baked my wedding cake, and if you follow Allison Roman on Instagram, first of all, if you don't, you should. She's the real girl's Martha Stewart. She keeps it real with her recipes. Everything you make of hers, from her New York Times recipes and from her last book, Dining In, it all tastes amazing. Every time you see on my Instagram something amazing and Jess DMs me and is what did you make? It looks so good.
Oh, yeah,
vegetable heavy. She's if you're a vegetarian, there's recipes for you. Well,
I didn't get it over the last winter. Remember I posted on my Instagram this chickpea thing and you said you made hashtag
the stew. The stew. If you guys haven't heard about the stew. Oh, it was a thing.
Jeff made it. He's the cook. But yeah, the stew is a thing.
It was a New York Times recipe with coconut and turmeric. It's so good. And chickpeas. It's so delicious. So her new book just came out. I am so, so proud of her. I got to see the making of this whole book because she does it with her friends. I actually weighed in on the cover photo even.
Okay.
But she just made New York Times bestseller list.
Mazel.
Which is a huge deal for a cookbook. I'm really proud of her.
I have a question for you.
Go buy it. It's wonderful. Go ahead.
What's your favorite recipe?
Okay,
for our listeners.
That's so funny. I just made one and she inspired me. It was, I haven't made them all yet, but so far I made, I think it's tomatoey white beans with, I forget what the rest of it is. I never have made white beans. She treats them like pasta. So okay. You like almost make it as if the white beans are the pasta and yeah. Then it has like a tomato sauce with like this preserved lemon and then toasted breadcrumbs on top. But you're so much healthier than eating a plate of spaghetti with tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying healthy is not her thing, but they're really vegetable-centric recipes, and they always have, like, a little kick of spice or something. So
she does do a lot of veggie-heavy stuff.
Right here.
I was going to ask, so Jen has this Tupperware that's peeking out of her tote bag, and yes. On the subway, I was looking at it, like, what is that?
That's the leftovers of an Alison Roman recipe. So anyway, if you're having people over for the holidays, or if you're not, this will help you do it in a way that's not, like, bullshit, because she's awesome. Go get nothing fancy.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.